Hey everyone, welcome back to Let the Adventure Begin. I'm your host, Josh Wood, and in this episode, we wanted to focus on Mexico and Mexico City in particular. There's probably no better person to help take us on that journey than Alexandra Demoux, who is the founder of Welcome Home Mexico. Welcome Home Mexico is a relocation and real estate company based in Polanco, which is a very popular neighborhood in Mexico City. So without further ado, we want to welcome Alex, who's standing by right now. Alex, how are you?
I'm fine, Josh. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Hi, everyone.
Hey, we're so excited to have you.
Thank you.
So before we get started, can you just share a little bit about your background before you moved to Mexico?
Sure. I am from New York, the New York, Connecticut area, and I studied hospitality and hotel business management. Undergrad, and for my master's, I studied education, elementary education. I was a teacher for many years, and popping in and out as well of the hospitality industry.
That's great.
And then came to Mexico.
Okay. On that, what prompted your move to Mexico?
Yeah, I'm not the typical expat, because I actually came. I was married to a Mexican, so okay. I came because of that. I had known Mexico, though. It wasn't completely unfamiliar to me. I have an uncle and cousins who live here in Mexico City. So when I was getting married, we made the decision to live in Mexico, and here I am.
Okay. Yeah, so you had family there, so it felt natural. So yeah. When was the first time that you went to Mexico City?
Well, I've been coming to Mexico City since I was really little, but officially I moved here in 2010.
Okay.
And actually my first stops, I lived for 1 year in Tijuana in Baja California.
Mm-hmm.
Then 1 year in San Luis Potosí, which is a little bit north. So
that's great.
Different parts of the country.
But when you moved to Mexico City and you chose that, that was with your husband at the time, and that's why you guys landed there.
Yeah. Yeah. And also mostly because of work.
Mm-hmm.
And also just trying to find a great place to live, an international city, you know, with everything that you might need, very sort of centrally located, easy to travel around the country, great schools, things like that. So kind of like the whole package.
Yeah, it's a big city, right? I think, you know, a lot of people might not know how big a city Mexico City is.
It's a huge city. Mexico City, the central plus its exterior parts, I think we're at 33 million people.
It's incredible.
And it's very largely spread out as well. So yeah, it's massive. But don't be scared by that.
Well, that generally means that it has a lot to offer as well, right?
Exactly. Everything. This city has, I mean, culturally, it has everything that you would find in any large city around the world, museums, you know, shows, theater. It's just incredible what it has to offer.
So how has it changed since you first arrived there?
There are more expats. I have to say that's really honestly the biggest change. Of course, there's been more development. Things are looking a little bit more modern. You know, gentrification, people coming in, buying up buildings, tearing down older things, putting up something new. But really the biggest change that has happened in the last 10 years have been the incredible amount of foreigners that are choosing to come and live in Mexico.
And what's the reaction? There's got to be, I imagine, some pushback to all the foreigners coming in. There generally is, right?
Yeah, there is a little bit. I think it's pretty balanced, though. I think a lot of people feel that the majority like are very welcomed here. They contribute, they work, like there's no harm in having them here. Of course, there are a few Mexicans that with, you know, understandably so, are not totally thrilled. They feel mm-hmm. that maybe rental prices are being driven up, you know, things like that are getting more expensive.
So when you were getting ready to move to Mexico City, how did you prepare for that? We always say to our members that preparation is such an important part of getting ready to be an expat, making a move. Do you agree with that? And how did your level of preparation impact your move to Mexico City?
Yeah, well, first of all, I do definitely agree with that. I think we're lucky that we have the internet these days, and there's a lot of research people can do on their own. But I also strongly believe in talking to people. So I think it's great what you guys are doing. I'm here. People can always reach out to me. But I do think also what we try to do is if we have someone interested in coming to Mexico, I try to put them in contact with a couple of other expats that have recently moved to Mexico and let them ask all the questions, you know, that they might have, concerns, things like
right.
that. Yeah, but research is key, and having Mexico is a big country. Mexico City is a big city. So I do think it's important to hear from not just like from the internet, but from actual people who have come and you know, settled here, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And that probably helps people create that first relationship or two, which is also key. Because I think if you can get like one or two friends, you start to feel a little bit settled, and then you can just kind of build out from there.
Definitely. And having that sense of community, I think helps anywhere that you move in the world. You know, you don't feel all alone.
And community is big in Mexico, is it not?
Community is big in Mexico. I mean, well, I don't know if you mean community of expats or you mean like in general.
Well, culturally, I think in Mexico, right?
Culturally, Mexico is incredible in the sense that it's very family oriented still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they take a lot of time to be with family. I mean, they carve out, let's say, I know a lot of families that have one day a week, they have lunch together, and the whole family gets together. But yeah, I think also neighbors, you know, as far as the entire neighborhood, everyone knows each other. There's a huge sense of community. People take care of each other. It's really nice.
That's great. So you're a mom in Mexico. What's it like to be a parent in Mexico City?
Well, going back to what we were talking about, that's why I think it's important to have a community and to have friends, because at first it's a little bit overwhelming, I have mm-hmm. to be honest.
Right.
But once you know your way around and you've got your school chosen and you start having activities, it's just a great city. There's always activities that are like totally focused for kids. There's never a dull moment. There are lots of parties, which again goes back to community. The mm-hmm. Mexicans love to celebrate things. So anything that can be celebrated, and they invite everyone. So lots of activities, lots of bike riding, lots of parks. Which is wonderful to take the kids to, and then the regular theater and the movies, and it's very, very centered around children, which is amazing. It's a culture where if you go out and eat at a restaurant, you know, at dinner, nobody's ever going to be shushing you, you know, to keep your kids quiet. A lot of the restaurants in Mexico actually have a play area for mm-hmm. kids, which is nice, so that parents can eat dinner in peace while the kids are running around, you know, being entertained. So it's actually really, really nice having kids, like being a mom in Mexico City. It's easy. It's very catered towards kids.
Yeah, in talking to parents that live in Portugal, I've heard the same thing, that the culture itself is so welcoming to children, and it's just like a natural part of the experience in Portugal, is that kids are around and it's just part of the experience and people really love it.
Yeah, and it makes it so much easier when you're a parent, you know.
Yeah, well, and that leads us right into the segues into the next part of the conversation about schools and yeah. what it's like to be at, you know, an international school or a local school, and what are the options in Mexico City like?
Sure. In Mexico City, I would say that most of the foreigners that come to live in Mexico City, they do tend to choose the private schools. There are lots to choose from. We have a very large American school here in Mexico City, which is you know, with the same like you would find in the States, schools have wait lists. You have to, again, do your research beforehand, prepare, get your paperwork in on time, things like that. But the American school is a big one. There's also the French, Liceo.
Okay.
There's a German school.
Mm-hmm.
That's also very well known. And there are several British schools. And then there's a handful on the side that are, as you said, just international in general. They call them bilingual. It's like half the day English, half the day Spanish. It's the programs are technically the programs of the Mexican government, which is called SEP, the education sector of the government. But there are many, many, many to choose from. And it just depends on, you know, where you want to live. It depends if you've been in a French school before. A lot of expats tend to like, for example, the German school because they're maybe they're diplomats, maybe they know that they're going to be moving around in the future. And that's just easier because they know that wherever you go, you'll find a German school.
Right.
Like that. So yeah. It depends. Yeah.
Creates that continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So we kind of already talked about it a little bit, but so the difference in family life in the United States versus Mexico. So what was your experience growing up and how would you compare it to Mexico? You know, you said you grew up in New York City and Connecticut, that area.
Yeah. It's different, I have to say. My family is very international, so unfortunately, I didn't grow up with a lot of family, like, very close.
Okay.
My grandmother lived in Japan, and my cousins were in Greece, and so it wasn't like it was easy to get together on a weekly basis. So,
right.
But I think also culturally, we don't really, I do know families that, like, every Sunday get together in Connecticut, let's say, but it's on the rarer side.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that for me was just such a beautiful thing to see coming to Mexico, that families are so united and they do tend to live close to each other. And even if they don't, they do family reunions several times a year, very, very close knit. And I just love that for my kids. And I love that even though I don't have a lot of family here now because but my kids live in that culture, right? All of their friends are always surrounded by families. My kids go, let's say, for a play date to someone's house and their grandmother is in the house. It's sort of a little bit traditional, a little bit old fashioned, but amazing.
Right.
Way, no?
It's very nurturing, right?
Very nurturing.
And yeah. It creates a sense of stability that I think a lot of people in the States might not have these days. So. Yeah. We like to, obviously, you know, with what we do and what you do, we're the kinds of people that really celebrate culture and the international experience. But for people to really understand what it's like to move to a place like Mexico, there's probably also some challenging aspects that people tend to ask about as well. So what are some of the challenging aspects of the culture in Mexico and Mexico City in particular?
Unfortunately, I would say the number one question is usually about security and safety.
Right.
And I think Mexico has gotten a bad rap. I'm not going to say that it's the safest country in the world. But I have been here for, let's say, 13 years. I've never had a problem, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a place where people need to be scared. But I do, you know, have a lot of people that are concerned, and it's a matter of knowing your way around and choosing, you know, a safe area to live, no? Like
yep.
You would do anywhere.
Yep.
But that's, I think, the first main concern. The second main concern, I would probably say, are people are very concerned with getting around. Like, how do I get around?
This right.
It's such a big city. And I've been noticing nowadays that a lot of people just choose to sort of stick to their neighborhood. So you try to live, it's because it's such a big city, the distances are very far and traffic is bad.
Right.
So to not have to be in traffic, you know, for 2 hours in order to pick up your child from school, for example, or to get to work. Now I'm seeing that people want to live closer to where they work and just have sort of live in a bubble in a way, but have everything relatively close. So those are the two main concerns. And the third one is, of course, the language.
Right.
I think there's some people that are, you know, hesitant to try to speak in Spanish. The Mexican people study English in school. So I would say the majority of them speak English, but not fluently.
Right.
So I think the best thing for people to acclimate is really to try their best and learn Spanish.
Right. And you probably get a much more positive response if, you know, the Mexican people feel like you're at least trying to learn Spanish, right?
Definitely. Definitely. They value it a lot because, there's a lot of people that come that do not want to learn Spanish, and it just makes things complicated. And yeah, they appreciate it for sure if you try.
Yeah. Okay. So one of my favorite things about doing this podcast series is talking about food. Mm-hmm. So, and I know food is such an important part of the Mexican culture, right?
Yes.
So yeah. What is authentic Mexican food like in Mexico City, and how does it tie into the culture?
Okay. Well, Mexican food in general is based on very, very sort of staple ingredients like corn. Mexico, the country, has a lot of corn, you know, corns, beans. So they do a lot of things with those ingredients, plus with chilies. They love chili peppers, mm-hmm. you know, salsas, things that are spicy.
Right.
But what's amazing about Mexico is depending on where you travel to, the food completely changes. So Mexico City has a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has a lot of international cuisine, the same like you would find in any big city, let's say in the United States. I mean,
right.
you can find amazing Italian food, Thai food. I mean, anything, Greek food, anything you can think of, you can find it in Mexico City. It's not until you travel outside where you still have that, but not as much. And you have a lot more traditional Mexican food. So like going down to the south to the Yucatan, they have their own sort of menu, their own cuisine. So that's a lot of fun in Mexico, traveling around for the different types of foods. And in Mexico, as people know, they love tacos.
Right.
Tacos are like a staple to Mexican food. And things like, they call them flautas, which is like the taco, but it's kind of fried. So it's like a hard shell rolled up with chicken inside and things with amazing, delicious sauces. And
yep.
There's a little bit of everything, really.
So family events, I imagine, really gets tied into food like anywhere else. And yeah. So if you go to a party or it's a celebration of some sort, I imagine that really is a huge centerpiece for the event.
Definitely. And it's a lot of like cooking together, and a lot of people contribute, which is nice. Like a lot of people, like the guests that are arriving, they bring things, or they get right into the kitchen and everybody's hands are in the pot and all together kind of a thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, and isn't the national dish mole? Isn't that?
It's popular everywhere, which is a chocolate. It's, you know, the base is chocolate.
Right.
And it's usually spicy. And it's usually served with chicken. And it takes hours and hours. I mean, people who make it from scratch, it's something incredible. It's a real art form. It takes a very, very long time to make. But yeah, there is a lot of mole everywhere. But it's now it's kind of like a staple. Like it's not something that, you know, people go out just looking for mole. It's like you can find it anywhere.
Okay. Yeah, because I know I've done some research on Mexican food, and that always comes up eventually. You know, the conversation will turn to that. Okay. Obviously, Mexico is a big retirement destination. So do you see that a lot in Mexico City too, or is it less so in Mexico City?
Less in Mexico City. And I would say mainly because Mexico City is a hustle bustle kind of a place, not as easy to get around, lots of traffic, lots of people, lots of action. So I think people looking to retire usually choose the beaches.
Right.
Mérida's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Mérida's an amazing city in the Yucatan where You have sort of a small city, only about 30 minutes from the beach. So it's nice because you have a little bit of both worlds. And of course, San Miguel de Allende and places like that, like in Guanajuato, where it's city, it's inland, you don't have any beach, but there's a lot of culture, a lot of activities, libraries, theater, things like that, and they're walkable. So it's a small town, you know, it's easy for the elderly or the people who are just retired and just want to enjoy jazz music at night, that kind of thing, you know, to be a little bit in a community, a smaller city, and walk around.
Right. And how about Lake Chapala? I know that used to be a big retirement destination. Is that still the case, or?
It's not anymore, but I can't really tell you why. I haven't gotten a solid answer on
Okay.
It. There are still a few people that went, you know, maybe 15 years ago, and they're still there. But as far as the amount of people that choose to go there now for retirement, it's dwindled a lot.
Okay.
Not as many are going there.
Okay, so shifting gears a little bit, Welcome Home Mexico. Tell us how that got started and its evolution and to where it is today.
Okay, well, I'll make a long story short. Welcome Home got started, honestly, because me being an expat myself in Mexico, I was always helping people and giving people information. I had a lot of friends and colleagues calling me and it was asking me, hey, where do you think I should go? And I want to move. And where do you think I should live? And I'm all kinds of stuff. And I had a couple of friends actually that said to me, you know, you should really think about doing this as a full-time job, because a lot of people depend on you and trust your opinion and things like that. No. So I created Welcome Home at the beginning as an experiment to see if something would, you know, something in relocation would interest me and would take off. And I'm really lucky it did. My first clients were big companies like Canon, the camera company. And so anytime they were bringing directors or employees down to Mexico to work, I would be responsible for finding them a place to live, helping them if they needed to find a school for their kids, and everything else you can think of that someone might need when moving to a new country. And so luckily, well, we've grown and I have an amazing team of people that work with me. And it's just sort of, now we're not only in Mexico City, we have people in Guadalajara, in Veracruz, in San Miguel, in Baja California, and in Mérida. So it's been an exciting process. It's just grown sort of organically. And I think the secret to our success is, number one, we work only really by word of mouth, by recommendations. Which is really nice. Everyone that comes into our network and our community, you know, comes from someone else that we've worked with, which is wonderful. Forming like long relationships with people. You know, we don't help someone and put them in an apartment in I don't know where and then never speak to them again.
Right.
It's
right.
sort of an ongoing, very long-term relationship. And that's really special.
And that's so much fun to be able to do that in another country and just have it snowball like that. It's got to be so enriching and rewarding.
It is. And part of what I love is I have just grown to love Mexico so much. I could have gone back to New York a couple of years ago, but I didn't. I chose to stay. I'm raising my kids here. So my love for Mexico, you know, it's become like a passion. I just love getting other people excited about Mexico, you know, and making them feel at home and welcome. And it's great. It's very rewarding for me.
That's great. Okay. So three questions that I'm asking everyone. If you had to suggest one place to visit in Mexico that a tourist or even maybe the average expat wouldn't find on their own, what would it be? Where would it be?
That's a tough one. It's not that they wouldn't find it, but I would have to say I'm a beach person. So there are a couple of beaches, but one in particular called Sisal, which is outside of Mérida.
Okay.
But it's like off the beaten path. Most people go to a beach called Progreso. So most people don't hear about it, don't know about it. And on the way, there are a lot of they're called cenotes. It's like a watering hole, like a natural,
Okay.
no, but where you can swim. So some of them you have to climb downstairs almost into a cave and you go swimming, and others are more open, almost like a crater. So on the way, you stop at all these different spots to swim. Merida's
Okay.
very, very hot, so it helps along the way. And you end up at this beach town, but it's off the beaten path. You know, there's hardly anything there. It's more like Virgin Beach that hasn't been discovered and developed yet. And for me, it's been one of my favorite places I've been to in Mexico.
That's great. Okay, so the next question, if there's one thing that you could change about your move to Mexico and what you did, what would you do differently this time around?
I would say get more involved faster.
Okay.
I think that becoming part of a community is much easier when you contribute. So it could be just contributing time and helping with a local charity or an organization. It could be, you know, getting involved in the building where you live. Like, it doesn't have to just be charity work. I mean, it could, you know, things at the schools that are going on, helping a local school with something. But I think I wish I do that now, but I wish I had done that a long time ago. And I think a lot of international clubs that are here in Mexico now, they're focusing a lot on that. I mean, first of all, because everybody wants to help, but I think also it just makes your like settling in a lot more comfortable, like faster. You meet a lot of people. People appreciate the fact that you're, you know, volunteering and giving some of your time or your knowledge. I know friends that help at orphanages. I mean, there's anything now. I mean, even it could be like a regatta, a sailing regatta happening
Right.
on a lake, and they need extra hands. It could be anything, but I wish I had done that sooner. And I mean, it takes time, but I feel like I wish I had sort of brushed up on my Spanish
Right.
sooner in the game, like not just arrived and then word by word, you know, learned Spanish. I wish I had sort of known a little bit more before I arrived, but it is what
Yeah,
it is.
the language thing's pretty common. You hear that a lot. And then going back to your other point, around when we were first starting out with expat exchange, I can remember one person saying to another on our forums, it seems like you're waiting at home for someone to come knock on your door and get you out, but that's not going to happen. You got to kind of be bold and kind of get out there and find some way to do something.
Yeah, I
Yep.
agree completely.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last question is Is there one food or dish that has become a favorite of yours since you moved to Mexico?
It's gonna sound funny, but there's a breakfast dish that I love that's called chilaquiles.
Okay.
And basically it's tortilla, triangular tortilla chips that they cook and soak in salsa. You can choose if you want a red salsa or a green salsa.
Okay.
And they usually serve it either with scrambled eggs or, you know, if you a fried egg or whatever. They also serve it with chicken at times, but it has become, they put onion, they put cilantro, they put a lot of times cream. Sounds very healthy, right? And
Sounds
cheese,
delicious.
it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious. It can be a little bit spicy. And it's not something that you eat every day. So it's sort of like a breakfast treat, but it's absolutely one of my favorites.
That's great. Well, Alex, thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it, and we're very happy to have you working with us on Expat Exchange. So it's really great to put a face to your name, and people can look and see more about Welcome Home Mexico and Expat Exchange, or go to is it welcomehomemexico.com,
Correct.
right? Absolutely. So thank you again so much for doing this, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Josh. And yes, I'm here to help anyone that needs
Okay,
me.
great.
All
Talk to you
right.
soon.
Talk soon.
Yep,
Bye-bye.
bye-bye. Thank you so much to everyone for taking the time to listen to Let the Adventure Begin.
the flagship podcast for expatexchange.com. We are proud to partner with Welcome Home Mexico and other relocation-related resources that you need to move your life from one country to another and settle in and build the exciting new life you have always dreamed of. So come to expatexchange.com, learn about life abroad, and meet other expats who are there to help each other and you. We've got an incredible amount of exciting projects coming down the pike for 2024 and beyond. So stay tuned, and we hope you'll join us for the next episode of Let the Adventure Begin, which is brought to you by expatexchange.com, a world of friends abroad.